author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
There is a new unit of time that will replace the nanosecond, and that is the amount of time it takes for an event to happen and John Kirby to get on the airwaves explaining what Biden really said and meant.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Grab a stool next to Greg Corumbus of Radio America and Jim Garrity of National Review. Three Martinis coming up.
Hey, really glad you're with us for the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you after yesterday's all-crazy fare. Jim, it's not technically one of our three martinis today, although we will talk about a certain aspect of January 6th and our crazy martini today. But the Democrats are going all out on January 6th today, and it's certainly not to downplay how disturbing and crazy it was last year on January 6th. I think some on the right have a tendency to downplay how serious it was, but some on the left certainly have a tendency to overplay. I don't think you and I would argue that it's a coup or an insurrection. It was a riot that got very ugly. Biden's speech today, which he said at the end was designed to unify the country, accused Republicans of voter suppression in the states. And he talked about how awesome the system is that elected him president, but it's got to be radically changed to now protect democracy with the legislation that the Democrats are pushing. He seemed to also lump in everyone who voted to challenge any of the electors with the people who were committing violence outside, which is interesting since the Democrats have challenged every Republican presidential victory since 1988. They did it, obviously, in 2000, George W. Bush. They did it again in 2004. And I think they still believe Donald Trump was illegitimate in 2016. So it looks like the Democrats are going all in as their election strategy this year, that if you want to preserve democracy, which Jimmy Carter says is hanging by a thread, you got to stick with the Democrats. I guess that's their only card right now.
The first half of the speech is that Americans' democracy is safe. The second half of the speech was America, democracy is hanging by a thread and could disappear unless we get what we want. That's, you know, yeah, good luck. Terrible day. I'm glad that the prosecutions are proceeding apace. There's nothing justifiable about it. But I do think that calling it a coup or insurrection is giving it a credibility and a seriousness of purpose that wasn't really there. You know, imagine, you know, God forbid they could have, you know, killed Mike Pence, they could have killed other lawmakers. But beyond that, what would they have done? Like, what was the mechanism in which they were going to keep Donald Trump in office? You know, inevitably, at some point or another, the Capitol Police or National Guard or some forces of law and order and authority were going to clear them from the Capitol, and the legislative branch would reconvene, and they were going to certify the election results from the Electoral College. And Joe Biden was going to be inaugurated on January 20th, no matter what happened. And I'm kind of, you know, so that by that standard, the detail that keeps sticking in my mind is the smearing of human feces on the walls of our government. You know, like this was anarchy. That there was no grand cause. They were not patriots. They were not standing up for anything, you know, anything noble or anything like that. They literally dressed as barbarians. Let's stop treating them as if they were some sort of serious, coherent, intellectually consistent force that let's treat this you know, chaotic movement with the derision it deserves.
Yeah, and I think you said it best. There was nothing that could have changed that day, given the fact that Democrats controlled the House and it was a 50-50 split in the Senate. Only a handful of Republicans in the Senate were willing to challenge the electors in any state. There was literally no chance of changing anything once the election process got to that point. All the states had certified their results. There was nothing that could have changed that day, and to put folks in danger was completely unnecessary. But we'll talk more about that. But Biden's speech today was thoroughly beyond the pale also. So let's talk about our good news. And it kind of feeds off of yesterday's bad news, Jim. And there's still obviously a bad news element to this. But it's kind of interesting to watch how the Democrats have pivoted on school openings on a dime here, because they were in lockstep with the teachers' unions for the longest time. Whatever Randy Weingarten wanted, well, darn it, that's what we're going to do. The CDC had to reverse course last year on their recommendations. And then all of a sudden, this year, Once Chicago started rumbling that its teachers were not going to show up in person, at least until they flattened the curve on Omicron, that now the Democrats are deciding that we have to get kids back in school. So a lot of folks on the left are trying to do this 180 as gracefully as possible. I'm not sure I buy it. I think it's mostly political. But nonetheless, you got Biden doing it, you got Axelrod doing it, you got the mayor of New York trying to do it. Meanwhile, the Chicago teachers, as we said yesterday, they're demanding remote teaching only at this point. Not to be outdone, the New York teachers, despite the mayor's wishes there, are saying that they want to temporarily shutter the schools after the Department of Education recorded more than 12,000 new teacher and student cases on Monday. They're going to be protesting at the Barclays Center. Actually, they did that yesterday. Meanwhile, out in San Francisco, it's not even the union. The San Francisco Chronicle saying that the teachers, they're not even waiting for the unions to take action, organized a sick out, and they got all sorts of demands, Jim. They want the union, the city, the state, the federal government to not only invest in seriously addressing the pandemic, but so many other areas that make this pandemic challenging for the public schools. So apparently the $200 billion that's already been allocated for the schools and all these major spending issues on COVID aren't getting it done. So I'm not sure which faction of the Democratic Party is going to win this fight, but it's going to be popcorn popping time. The only problem is you got innocent kids stuck in the crossfire here.
Greg, I just want to clarify that those New York teachers, because they are concerned about an extraordinarily contagious variant of the virus, they all got together in a big group outside the Barclays Center?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, because it's too dangerous to go to the classroom. But quick, everybody come together. Let's pull this together. Bring it in closer. Everybody get together. You know, a lot of handshakes, high fives, deep French kissing. You know the deal. Look. You know, this is bad for the kids involved. This is bad for those cities. But I think there's only one of two ways this shakes out. Either the elected Democratic leaders in these cities, as well as, you know, in Congress and nationwide, and perhaps the president himself, Biden, will, like, either they recognize that these groups of teachers have no interest in teaching. Somebody made the interesting point. Over in Europe, they opened schools in like late spring 2020. Long before there was a vaccine, long before there was a boosters, long ago, they figured out, okay, we're going to put on masks. We're going to try to space out the kids. We're going to do the best we can because education really, really matters. And we got to get these kids taught. And, you know, here in the United States, a lot of places, at least in my neck of the woods, schools were out of, you know, we did virtual learning for a whole year. Some cases more than that. Some cities, it was like closer to 18 months. And then, you know, teachers in a lot of states got pushed to the front of the line for getting shots. They're near the front of the line for getting boosters. We're now dealing with a milder version of the virus, a less virulent variant in Omicron. Now, a lot of people catching it? Heck yeah. And if a school said, look, we wanted to hold school today, but we've now had, you know, 20% of our teachers call in sick or something. We just can't find enough substitutes. If they said, look, we got to close school on Monday, but we're going to try again on Tuesday. Okay. That happens. I look, it's a very contagious variant. If enough people are literally out sick and it's genuinely they're sick and they don't want to come into the school because they're afraid they could spread it to people, okay, fine. But do it on a school by school basis. Don't do it on the whole citywide, we're just deciding not to do this anymore. It's happening in San Francisco, it's happening in Chicago, it's happening in New York. These are three of the most, you know, deep blue progressive cities in the country. And they're some of the biggest cities in the country. And this is a clear demonstration. Progressive big cities, the schools don't work. Never mind the bad results they tend to generate. In all three places, teachers are saying, we've decided that this mild variant is too threatening and we want to shut them down. We're not going into school. We refuse to do our jobs. Somebody somewhere has a great, you know, Reagan and air traffic controllers moment here. Maybe it's the mayor. Maybe it's the superintendent. Whoever's got authority over these teachers can say, look, if you do not show up to do your work, you are doing this in violation. We've established that the health threat is not serious enough. This is not life-threatening. We have all kinds of treatments available. Get your butts into class and do it. Otherwise, we're in violation of your contract and you're out of here. You have proven yourself to be a liability to the party, and the party will no longer give you what you want, you know, with carte blanche, and give you whatever. You know, you're now going to be just another interest group with no more power than anybody else. And in fact, you've heard our reputation. So we're going to have, it's like the old police song, "Don't Stand So Close to Me," which ironically was about a teacher. We're not going to stand by you through thick and thin anymore. You've cost us seats. You probably cost us the Virginia governor's race. and we're not going to let you cost us any more with the midterms approaching. So Democrats are either going to do that, or they wimp out and they knuckle under and they, you know, do what they say because the teachers' unions call the shots. And in that case, there's going to be a great opportunity for Republicans next time people go to vote, both in these cities and in general. Because even if you're not affected by this, if you're in, say, a suburban Virginia one, a school district, you're looking at us and saying, boy, I hope my local teachers don't get the same idea. I hope they don't say, oh, I don't know. I'm not going to, wait, why should I go and show up to school with this Omicron variant going on when I could just as easily, decide to stay if up in New York, out in San Francisco and in Chicago, they're not working. Why should I work? I mean, this is all theoretical, Greg, because, you know, it snowed and we're on day 4 of snow days here in Fairfax County. Which ironically was about a teacher. We're not going to stand by you through thick and thin anymore. You've cost us seats. You probably cost us the Virginia governor's race. And we're not going to let you cost us anymore with the midterms approaching. So that's one possibility. I don't think it'd be gay. Or the Democrats do decide, we got to give them what they want. And it turns into an even bigger, an even redder tsunami come November of this year.
You know, the police really should have made up their mind. On the one hand, they don't want you standing so close to them. On the other hand, they're watching every breath you take and every move you make. I mean,
well, it was COVID preparation, Greg. Don't stand so close to me, but I'm watching you all the time. Every breath you take, because you're exhaling the virus.
A little schizophrenic there, I think, though, on the part of Sting. No wonder he ended up going solo. Maybe he didn't want to stand so close to the rest of the band. Jim,
it's about a teacher and a girl. He's running away from the rest of the police.
Exactly. It's the hot music takes from the 1980s, just like yesterday. But anyway, as you watch all of this play out, Jim, on this and many other issues, you get to do all of it from the comfort of your X chair.
You know, dear listeners, I love my work, but sometimes I used to dread sitting down at my desk before I got my X chair. But now, thanks to my X chair, I look forward to sitting in my office because my body feels so much more supported and comfortable. And more comfort means more productivity, helping my X chair pay for itself thanks to how much more work I'm getting done each day. And if I'm feeling tight or stressed, I just turn on the Elemax massage feature and choose from 4 different massage options. If my home office is a little too hot or a little too cold, I just flip on the Elemax temperature regulation and either heat or cool my lower back. And once you feel the customized support of the X chair's patent dynamic variable lumbar, or DVL, your back will never be happy in any other chair again. Take my advice. Try the X chair for yourself, risk-free for 30 days. And once you realize just how much better your chair should be, you will never go back, I promise.
Just go to xchairmartini.com now. That's the letter X, chair, MARTINI.com. Or call 1-844-4X-CHAIR for $100 off your order. X chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 per month. One more time, xchairmartini.com. I'll tell you what's great, though. It's not NPR, and it's certainly not Catherine Marr, but it's 4Patriots. 4Patriots.com/martini is where you want to go to see all their great deals, including deals right now on the Leafy Greens Hydro Garden Seed Kit, the 4Patriots Bountiful Green Plant Food, Sonorap Therapeutic Blanket, and the Solar Go Fridge with Solar Panel. But the Deluxe 3-Month Survival Food Kits are back. Huge popular demand. More than 200,000 Americans agree this is not only important survival food to have, but it tastes good. 688 total servings per kit, about 8 per day, about 1,500 calories per day. You can stash food away and be confident that when and if a disaster strikes, you and your family will be ready. Go to 4patriots.com/martini to get the deluxe 3-month survival food kit and the peace of mind you deserve. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $97. That's the number 4patriots.com/martini. That's 4patriots.com/martini.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Jim. Let's talk about our bad martini today officially. And this is one that surprisingly hasn't gotten more attention, but it's an international story. And as we talked about at the top today. We know what the media is entirely focused on today. But this is a story out of Central Asia, and the issue is Kazakhstan, the former Soviet Republic. There were massive protests there over the major fuel price hike, just like we've seen everywhere else, but I think it's even more severe there. And as a result, Kazakhstan's government basically resigned and called on Moscow for support through what's known as the Collective Security Treaty Organization. It's basically the NATO of former Soviet Socialist Republics. First time they've ever used it. It was ostensibly meant to protect these countries from invasion by other countries, not put down their own people. Allegedly, dozens of demonstrators were killed. We don't have a full number on that. Some police, perhaps, as well. So, Jim, Kazakhstan's not exactly a place where we spend a lot of time focusing. But as Russia gets a little trigger happy in a lot of other places, namely Crimea, well, they didn't actually have to pull a trigger there, but Ukraine, and I know the Baltic states aren't exactly resting easy these days. This example from Moscow ought to leave us pretty concerned as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask most Americans about Kazakhstan, you get a few Borat jokes and that's about it. Look, they're in Central Asia. They are enormously rich with natural gas and oil, one of the, energy producing countries of the world. And you could see, geographically right next to Russia, and Russia would like to maximize its influence over that country. And if you want to say look, the U.S. has limited national interests over there, it's always been close to Russia, fine. Okay, but let's observe what kind of signal gets sent to the world when a pro-Russian government has this protest against it and Russian troops land to help the government suppress dissent and protests and allegedly killing dozens of demonstrators, according to the reports out there. What does that look like? That looks like either Russia has a whole bunch of client states that are basically, Russia is the bodyguard of a whole bunch of vassal states surrounding it. People have argued about whether Vladimir Putin wants to reestablish either the Russian Empire or the Soviet Union in some form. This vision of greater Russia that in addition to being, having its already, massive territories, it wants to be surrounded by all of these buffer states. Long memories. They remember Napoleon. They remember Hitler. They remember all these folks who are trying to do this. Now, look, if you want to say this is Central Asia, the U.S. is very far from this, and this, fine. Okay, you want to make that argument. But this is all happening in the context of Ukraine, and I cannot help but notice, Greg, that for a good 4 or 5 years, we were told by the Democratic Party that Vladimir Putin was one of the greatest threats on earth, and that they were absolutely furious with him, and we were furious about Trump for not standing up to him enough. And it was time for Americans to really stand up to Russia, and this Russian aggression, this will not stand. And now Russia's sending troops into another country, and nobody doesn't seem to be paying any much attention to it. Which makes me think that all of that, fuming and raging and anger at Vladimir Putin, that I've always been on board with that. I'm a Cold War kid. I'm never going to trust the Russians all that much. But if you want to, my sneaking suspicion the whole time during the Trump years was the Democrats weren't really angry at Donald Trump because he had ties to Vladimir Putin. Democrats were angry at Vladimir Putin because he had ties to President Trump. That in the end, it was the role in domestic politics that bothered them. And they certainly had never gotten upset about the takeover of Crimea. They had never gotten upset about the Russian-backed forces shooting down a passenger airliner. In the end, most Democrats, I think, at heart are isolationists. They don't really want to deal with the rest of the world other than, attend summits and have happy talk and we'll all, work together on climate change and things like that. Actually, standing up to aggression, well, look, that's risky. That's scary. That's frightening. That's, let's all talk this out. So look, maybe what happens in Kazakhstan is not going to have much of an influence on the rest of the world, but it is happening in the context of this burgeoning building potential crisis in Ukraine. And the fact that we're hearing very little about from this administration and this little response at all does not make anybody in Eastern Europe feel confident, and it really shouldn't. In the end, a lot of the tough on Russia rhetoric we heard over the last couple of years was entirely window dressing. It was entirely in the context of we're really angry at Donald Trump. It has nothing. In the end, Democrats are fundamentally isolationist, and they're giving, if not a clear green light to Vladimir Putin, then they're mostly averting their eyes and yawning and focusing on other topics.
Yeah, and I fear that this could be an explanation, a flimsy and false explanation for future Russian action in some of those other places we mentioned, because their argument here can be, look, a friend asked for help, so we offered him help. What else could we do? I mean, we want to be a good neighbor. We like these people. We're neighbors and we get along well. But he could say the same thing in Belarus, because I know he loves the president there. There were a lot of uprisings there. Didn't send troops in, but I can imagine him using the same argument. And even though the leadership in the Baltic states and Ukraine certainly don't want Moscow inside their borders, they could claim that there's, pockets of Russians who feel oppressed and they had to respond to them. So just curious to see whether this becomes a frequent excuse for Russian intervention. Hopefully it's a one-time situation. Hopefully they're gone soon and we don't see another example of it. But something tells me this is a little bit of a dry run.
To say, anybody who's studied warfare in the past century knows this very familiar playbook. My ethnic brethren are being oppressed over that border.
Yep.
I have no choice but to come to their rescue with a blitzkrieg movement. Very familiar movement by expansionist-minded authoritarian regimes and dictators.
All right. Well, again, hopefully it's a one and done, but the damage to the people inside Kazakhstan has already been done, and we'll see how long they stay there. In the meantime, as you wait to see what the Russians do next, get your rest, because I think they're going to have a busy year along with the Chinese. So for that, get your MyPillow, get some good sheets like the Giza Dream Sheets, have good towels, and have comfortable feet with their slippers, and on and on and on. The good products from MyPillow are also not subject to the recent supply chain issues. They've got everything in stock, no back orders, and no delayed shipping for any of their line.
The MyPillow is made 100% right here in the United States, and they've built a huge inventory to ensure that their customers get what they need when they need it. MyPillow has full stock of all items on their website. Everything from the MyPillows at their lowest price ever, to the sheets, to the slippers, to the robes, and now the cardigans. All in stock, all ready to ship fast. MyPillow is your one-stop shop where you can shop with confidence. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty.
Fantastic products all the way around. And if you want to get yours at a great price, go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Specials for specials like Buy One, Get One on the Giza Dream Sheets or the lowest price ever on the MyPillow Premiums when you use the promo code MARTINI. Or call 800-874-0104. Don't miss this sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MARTINI, or call 800-874-0104. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Jim, back to January 6th and technically January 5th, according to surveillance footage of last year. There is a figure on that surveillance tape placing bombs at the Republican National Committee headquarters and the Democratic National Committee headquarters, which are not that far apart from each other, geographically. Ideologically, it's a different story, of course. And so far, this appears to be, you know, perhaps the greatest threat of all from that 24-hour period. Yet, for all the arrests we have from what happened at the Capitol the next day, we've got nothing, apparently, on this guy. Why not?
That's a terrific question there, Greg. And let me observe, like, whatever you think of the protesters, the president, or the 24 election, I think we'd all agree, you're not supposed to leave pipe bombs people anywhere. This is somebody who did that is terrorism. That is an attempt to kill people. And you kind of figure that of all the acts that happened that day, this would have to rank among the most serious. Thankfully, they didn't go off, although the FBI has said that they had black powder in them, that they were capable of being detonated, that they were potentially dangerous. This was not just somebody taking an alarm clock and some pipes with nothing explosive. These things could have killed people, and thankfully they didn't. Shortly after around February or so, the former head of the U.S. Capitol Police said that he believed the pipe bombs were there as a distraction, meant to draw away U.S. Capitol Police resources from Capitol Hill and the Capitol building away towards the party headquarters. And that's certainly a reasonable enough theory. The fact that, and so his thing was this is part of a coordinated action. The thing is, though, I point out, I don't know who did it. There's only competing theories here. If you had more than one person, you kind of wonder if the bomber's partners, accomplices, would have given this bomber up by the now. By the way, judging from the videos and the pictures, you'd guess the person is male, but they said that they're still not 100% certain of this. They're wearing a hoodie. They have a mask on. They think, but they're wearing gloves, very distinctive Nike sneakers, but otherwise they have no idea, and nothing, the FBI can determine nothing about this bomber. One of the really interesting things I've dig into this both for, sheer interest and the writing the thriller novels, people who build bombs traditionally have a signature, and it's almost like subconscious. They just have this way that they've decided is the best way to build a bomb. And from this, you can kind of figure out, where did they learn it from? Who was their teacher? Where was that? There's only a certain number of ways you can do this. So that's usually a clue. That usually helps point the investigators in the right direction. The fact that it's a year later and they don't have any leads, and several times over the course of the year, they've asked the public for more help and And the latest talk is that they're analyzing the video to do what they call as gait analysis, G-A-I-T, meaning that the way you walk can be analyzed through computers to kind of match it from one person to another. Now, somebody had the observation, if they're working on that, that means studying the bomb didn't really tell them anything useful or distinctive. So if this person had accomplices, well, if they're a non-criminal accomplice, there's a $100,000 reward, and this person still hasn't come forward and given any information on that. If they're a criminal accomplice, you figure of these 725 people who've been arrested and charged with crimes in connection to January 6th. Let's say you're sitting there, you're looking at a fairly serious prison sentence, and you know who planted those bombs, you figure that'd be really useful information to trade to get a much lesser sentence. There's no indication that that has come forward. So I look at all that, and I suspect that the perpetrator of this was working alone. I don't know it, but I just look at that, and I figure if they had accomplices, one way or another, they'd feel a need to do that. The other thing which I think is kind of interesting and curious about that is we have no indication that this person struck at any previous event, and we have no indication that this person struck at any subsequent event. This was a one-off. So look, this could be somebody out there. They could be kind of chuckling to themselves. They could be convinced they got away with it or something like that. And at this point, a year later, it's certainly, we took a long time to catch the Unabomber, took a long time to catch the Olympic Park bomber, Eric Rudolph. It's possible that at some point someone will see something, remember something, some other clue or avenue of investigation will open up. They will eventually catch the perpetrator. The theory, as I was reading all this, I came up with, and again, it's just a theory. I have no idea if this is true or not, but the fact that nothing's happened since makes me wonder, Greg, if the perpetrator is actually one of those more than 725 people who've already been arrested. Very tough to find the suspect out there walking the streets if you already have him in custody. And so in other words, the idea is that the law enforcement has this person in custody and they've charged him on something else. They, set the bombs, then went off and participated in the January 6th riot in some other capacity. Ended up getting arrested, and nothing's been found to tie that particular perpetrator to the placing of these pipe bombs on that. So that's the state of the investigation as of this morning. I think if you think about it, you get this reminder, you're kind of left with this kind of, this bizarre head scratching and somewhat unnerving realization that, look, this is Capitol Hill. There are security, cameras everywhere. You'd like to think this is one of the more secure sites in the entire country. And yet somehow, no arrest, no real strong leads, it sounds like, no suspects, no good avenues of investigation to figure out who this is. So I hope they find this person. I think it's one of the more fascinating and really perhaps even troubling unresolved questions of January 6th, and one that I think is kind of fascinating also that it got relatively forgotten compared to all the other vivid scenes that we saw on our television screens a year ago.
We'll find out if there are any developments in this case, but there certainly haven't been since that day. But Jim, the Democrats will still be talking about January 6th in perpetuity here. I assume we'll have some other issues to talk about tomorrow. But until then, have a good one.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity, National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Do be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. Also, please tell your friends about us. We're very grateful for your 5-star ratings and your kind reviews. Remember, you can get us on your home devices. All you have to say is play 3 Martini Lunch Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter. He's at Jim Garrity. I'm at @Dateline_DC. Have a great Thursday, and please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.
Hey guys, it's Mock and Daisy from Chicks on the Right. We're excited to tell you about our podcast, the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast. From discussing topics like cancel culture, what's happening to our new generations, crises in our nation, and even some high-profile interviews, each week we touch on subjects that matter to us and matter to you. And we're not afraid to tell you how it is, so tune in every week to hear us talk about the things or even just get a good laugh. To find out more, go to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to leave a comment, a review, and subscribe.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Someone go tell Kermit it's definitely easy being green. While the left blames corporate America, not only are green companies not paying taxes, they're getting $1.8 trillion of your taxpayer money. Why did we pass the Inflation Reduction Act again?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.